is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekend news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. Accountability in Afghanistan. Yes, accountability with our relationship with China. Accountability on the southern border, and surely accountability with the spending in Washington, D.C. It is remarkable how there is no accountability. What's even more remarkable is where is the media and all of the stories at this point? They are silent as they allow the Biden administration to continue to wreak havoc on our nation. That is the starting point today, my fellow Americans, on Viewpoint, and we'll do that all today with Dr. James Mitchell, Senator Ron Johnson, Dr. Lee Meng-Young. We'll start right at the top here with Dr. James Mitchell. He has served 22 years in the United States Air Force, retired as a lieutenant colonel. Dr. Mitchell was involved in the development of the CIA's enhanced interrogation program on terrorism. He interrogated, actually, 14 of the most senior high-value detainees in U.S. custody. His book out there is well noted, Enhanced Interrogations, also in our bookstore. You can get that. So, Dr. James Mitchell, it's been a while. Welcome to Viewpoint This Sunday.
Thank you for having me on.
It is always, it's a great pleasure to have you and start the program with you. So I want to ask you here at really 30,000 feet, as all this was developing in Afghanistan and everything you know about terror, you know, I know what was going through my mind, but this, what's just developed, this withdrawal in Afghanistan, is being called the greatest debacle in America's military history. As you were watching this from afar, what went through your mind in regards to terrorism and what was developing there?
Well, the first thing that went through my mind is I can't believe that the political leaders are that stupid. You know, it's like they've learned absolutely nothing from history. The second thing that went through my mind is they were trying to put whitewash over the top of this thing, is that they're playing a game that Adam Carolla calls stupid or liar. They're either too stupid to be in the position they're in, or they're lying to the American public. This thing that went down in Afghanistan is going to result in us having to play whack-a-mole, trying to stamp out terrorism as it pops up, not just in Afghanistan, but all over the world, because just the sheer volume of weapons that we left there, the fact that we left American hostages that they can ransom off or enslave as they choose, the fact that all of the, we didn't just arm and fund them, we left billions of dollars. We didn't just arm and fund them, we armed and funded all of their affiliates. So the terrorists now have a safe haven to plan attacks, to practice attacks, to develop new ways to attack, and our sophisticated military technology to help them do that, and our money to fund them doing it. It's like all of the blood and treasure that America has put into that situation to help them develop some kind of a democracy has just been washed away by incompetence.
Do you believe, is there any way that they didn't see this coming? I'm just wondering, from our military leaders to the Washington leadership with the Biden administration, is there any possible way in your mind that they could not have seen this coming?
I think that what happened is it was a top-down decision to do this. I think Biden so desperately wanted to be able to say that he had ended the war in Afghanistan as a point that he could brag about during the next few coming elections, that he was willing to sacrifice American lives and American treasure to do that. I think that the rank and file military did an outstanding job, given how their most senior leaders crippled them in the process of doing that. And anyone who believes that you can abandon an Air Force base overnight and leave more Black Hawk helicopters than most countries have, who are friendly towards us, along with billions of dollars of sophisticated weaponry and a jail full of some of the worst terrorists in the world, that you can just abandon that and there won't be any repercussions, they're just ignorant. But they don't. I don't think they're that ignorant. I think that the leaders just didn't care. That they thought what they could do is depend on the woke media and their sycophants to try to clean it up so that it became a victory for Biden. In fact, you see that happening in the press because, you know, I'm highly suspicious of this leaking about the phone call to China from General Milley, because that to me looks like, you know, in those Scooby-Doo cartoons, every time Scooby-Doo was about to get the bad guy, somebody could say, "Hey, look, a Scooby snack," and Scooby was distracted from it. And that's essentially what they've done with this business about this Chinese phone call. What they've done is they wanted to get the bad press that was inevitable and had to be covered by even those outlets that were friendly towards Biden and shared his political views. They had to get it out of the 24-hour news cycle. And they did that by potentially throwing him under the bus. And so I'm highly suspicious of that. I think that was horrible. I don't think it should have happened. But the fact that they're telling about us now should be viewed as an indication of just how stupid they think we are and how short they believe our attention span is.
Well, boy, you brought me back to another era there with the Scooby snacks. It was one of my favorite programs as a kid, by the way, but that's a good example. Now, with all of this and that equipment, as you say, that we left, which would arm any country just about around the world here. Again, a lot of people are questioning to me, not an accident. You say, well, they were so set on a goal to remove at any cost. But the cost is going to be more than anything we've ever done when we've armed terrorism around the world. You know, people are saying, well, that can't be an accident. It's absolutely intentional. And so now they're wondering, with all of the other pieces of the Biden administration, that they're weakening America at such a fast pace. Is this intentional? I mean, what is the end game? Besides, okay, you want to pull out of out of Afghanistan before 9/11, but at what cost? And I think a lot of people now are really connecting dots and believing, and I know this doesn't sound right, but that this administration has been sold out and bought out somehow. Is that even possible in your mind?
Well, it's a little too close to a conspiracy theory for my taste, but I'm agnostic about it in the sense that it may well turn out that some folks were hoping that what they would do is retire from the State Department and go to work as a lobbyist for some Chinese firm that was hoping to weaken America. I don't have any knowledge of that, and I think that we should focus less on the conspiracy behind it and more on what we're going to have to do to clean up this mess. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have been attacked it's actually worse than it was prior to 9/11. We had, in the past, we've been attacked when the terrorists believe that the president of the United States does not have the will or desire to do what's necessary in order to deter them. And so say what you want about Donald Trump. I mean, he texted and people didn't like it. And he said things that people didn't like. But we were safer and our economy was in better shape than it is now. We were the number one oil producer. He's cutting that stuff down. In my view, what's happened is this is pretty much what KSM told me about why they felt like they could attack us on 9/11. And that is, he said, you know, Reagan pulled out of Lebanon when the Marine base was attacked, and Clinton didn't respond to the coal bombing, and Clinton didn't respond to us killing 250 people when we blew up the embassy in Nairobi. So we just didn't think you guys had the courage to do anything about it. And now what has happened is Biden has cut and run out of Afghanistan in a way that left American citizens stranded and led to more casualties than had occurred in years in terms of our armed forces. And what they want to do is reframe the thing from the worst military debacle in history to, oh, look how good a job we did on saving people with the airlift. Don't be fooled by that crap. Don't be fooled by it. This is just their effort to try to distract us from the fact that we will have to be more violent. We will have to be willing to use more military force, and we will have to make them pay horrible consequences in the future to stop them from trying to kill us on our own land.
Yeah. Well, changing the narrative has been really a tradition with the Fourth Estate when they're in sync with an administration. But you point out a couple of big things here, which is back to the accountability factor. The fact that there's no news on any of this and the media is just going along with whatever. However, really, nobody's questioning it back because really 90 some odd percent of the media is all on the far left Marxist mentality, which is really in itself a story that nobody talks about, but it is sickening. How does this story look? I'm just curious. If, and not trying to be a smart guy here, but what if it was the Trump administration that had done any of the things that just transpired in Afghanistan? I mean, any part of that, Jim. And what if it was that administration who had created this greatest debacle in America's military history? What do you think the outcry would be?
Well, you know the answer to that question before you ask it. It would be horrific. You know, the Biden administration tries to put a loincloth on their problem by saying, oh, well, we're following the Trump initiative. But no, that's not true. Trump wanted to maintain the Air Force base at Bagram Air Force Base, where all those terrorists were, where all that equipment was that got abandoned for the most part. And he wanted to maintain air superiority over Afghanistan and keep a small number of folks in the area to maintain that. That's not what Biden did. Biden just basically cut and run and abandoned people. He took the military out before they took out the civilians. Who the hell does that? Excuse my language. Who does that? Somebody who's more concerned about their optics than they are about the security on the ground.
Yeah, and you mentioned Bagram Air Base, and that strategically, many experts are saying was the biggest blunder ever. So on that basis, do you see China moving in there? I'm hearing a lot of speculation that there's even reports that they've already cut a deal or trying to by offering shiny objects and money to the Taliban. Do you see that happening?
Well, I think there's the potential for that to happen, but I would hope that China would realize what we apparently don't realize, which is the Taliban have no honor with respect to agreements that are made with infidels. You know, you have a terrorist organization that now has a country and billions of dollars worth of arms who's working on an 8th century morality. They just don't believe they need to honor agreements made with infidels. So China could potentially move in. Afghanistan has been at war for thousands of years. It's going to be at war for another, few thousand years. Until the people of Afghanistan get tired of it, you can't go in there and impose democracy. And in those situations where they could have potentially done that, if we'd have left people in there, you would have young people that were born in an era of more freedom, who got used to being free, who would get into government and get into the military. Instead, what we've done is before that has happened, we've cut them off at the knees and we've put back in place people in power who we once had in Guantanamo, at Gitmo, who were conspiring against us that the previous administrations have let out.
Yeah, that is a very valid point. Very much. Let me talk to you about NATO a minute here. With this withdrawal in Afghanistan, our top U.S. military officer is meeting in Greece this weekend with NATO counterparts. And what they're doing is they're hoping to forge more basin relationships with base, military base, intelligence sharing and other agreements to prevent, they say, the terrorist groups from regrouping and threatening America and the region. Now, General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said the meeting of the NATO defense chiefs will focus in part on the way ahead now, and that all alliance troops have pulled out of Afghanistan. The Taliban are in control. So they're looking for these relationships, Jim, in some regard. We don't have any bases. It's a landlocked country. There's nothing really we have remotely terribly close to that. You have to go way out. I mean, you, from the Middle East, it's a long, long flight. It's going to be a tough call, isn't it?
Is. If you're asking me, can we reach out and touch those people in Afghanistan if we want to? Oh, yeah. We could bomb them back into the Stone Age. But that's not really what's likely to happen. You know, what's likely to I mean, we had a base right in the midst of them that we gave away, you know, along with all that equipment. Now whining about needing another one in that area.
Well, that's the question, actually. Can we rely on those NATO partners is what Milley is doing, like I said, this weekend at that meeting. I mean, do you see any strategic relationships that we can rely on to control the Taliban and terrorism?
Well, I would put the question differently. Is can that NATO partners rely on us?
That's good.
We're the ones who cut and run. Yeah. You know, we're the ones who basically got them involved in a war that we didn't win. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone once said the only thing worse than being in a bad war is being in a bad war that you lose. You know, that's the honest to God truth. Yeah. In this particular case, I think the Taliban, well, they actually said it. They think that they won. And if you're an Afghani who has any inkling towards agreeing with the West and you see what has happened, you think they can't be trusted. They won't be here. They won't stay. They'll cut and run when it's politically convenient for whoever happens to be in charge to do that. And so I wish him luck. We need strategic partners. The career State Department people, not the political appointees, but the career State Department people and the career folks in the military who haven't been infected by this woke mind virus mm-hmm. will be able to forge alliances that'll help us track and protect. But I think the bigger concern isn't can we trust them, it's can they trust us.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way you turned that. It's spot on. And that's what a lot of people are actually questioning. Can they trust this? What you point out is very clear. There's a weakening now in American might and trust. That's the damage that's been done here. It's pretty serious with allies and adversaries alike. Here's one other thought here. Our Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and intelligence officials are saying with, you know, these strategic relationships they're attempting to do, they're saying that Afghanistan and the terrorism groups and Al-Qaeda and everything that will come out of that you and I are talking about, Jim, they're saying it will pose a threat to the United States in 1 year to 2 years. That's what they're saying. Now, here's what I want to ask you first. You know, since they were so far off with how quickly the Taliban took control of the entire country, they predicted those numbers would be months and years when they took over Afghanistan when the military left or got into Kabul, for instance. Yet it ended up being days and hours when the Taliban got to Kabul to seize the country. Should we believe these numbers?
No. You know, the what the Taliban does and what the terrorists do are driven by their numbers, not our numbers. You know, here's the fine line that the Taliban need to walk. If their fingerprints are on terror attacks in the United States, the next president of the United States is going to be Trump, and he's going to come in and there will be hell to pay. So they have to do what Muhammad did when the Quraysh surrendered and said, after he said, well, I won't kill you, they have to get somebody else to do it. They have to support them. They have to get them to do it, not in their name, but because it was their own idea, even though that they support it, so that there's some distance and deniability. Mm-hmm. But do not for an instant believe that we haven't funded all of the terror groups in Africa and in Malaysia and in South America and in the United States, because we have given and are given billions of dollars in aid to Islamic charities. And if you go back into the Salafist laws that govern the way the Taliban work, 1/8 of that money goes to the jihad.
Did I hear you say just a moment ago that Trump will be president? Is that what you just said?
I just said that the risk that they run is that they're going to bring in someone who has a desire to make them pay a heavy cost if their fingerprints are on, you know. I mean, George Bush, when he came in, the second George Bush, when he came in, said he wasn't an expansionist and he didn't really want to spread, you know, American values around the world. And then they attacked us on 9/11 and then he went over there and squished them. And what I'm saying is they need to be very careful that they do not act too violently or too soon and their fingerprints are not on it, because the next president of the United States could just simply decide to wipe them out. Mm. And the difference now is they have territory that they want to hold, palaces where they want to live. They're relatively easier to find.
And finally, last thought, Jim, you're saying, could we wipe them out?
We could wipe out anybody. The question isn't could we, it's would we.
Mm,
I mean, we our capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we simply choose not to do that. And it's the right thing to do to choose not to do that. Right?
Is it?
It depends on what you're talking about. If what you're talking about is, you know, some sort of a nuclear attack on Afghanistan, that's wrong, you know, because of the collateral damage and stuff. But if you're talking about dropping, you know, a 10,000-pound bomb mm-hmm. on a Taliban war council, that's a whole different story.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's leave it right there. Dr. James Mitchell, boy, I'll tell you, that leaves a bit of a pause, isn't it, in the conversation. Interesting what he says at the end there. That's something we have for a future conversation, I think, with Dr. James Mitchell. Big thank you here. Whole host of things we want to talk about next with Senator Ron Johnson. This new cycle is, again, where's the accountability in any of that? We'll ask Senator Johnson that in just a moment here. Stay right there, my friends. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the Immune Super Boost that I need. Go to HealthyCell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Oh, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all. Welcome back to Viewpoint this Sunday here. It is Malcolm Out Loud, yours truly, and thank you for being with us on the mission here. But let me first tell you, there was a very interesting story that caught my eye with a pregnant California woman who was left behind in Afghanistan. Now, she's a California, American citizen, and she has safely fled the country. And this got a little attention because Representative Darrell Issa was involved in it, and some of our you know, political leadership was trying to get her out of there. She was beaten badly and harassed by the Taliban while there, Representative Daryl Issa says there. And so this lady, Nasiriya, she spoke to Voice of America, claiming at the time that Taliban fighters were hunting Americans since the U.S. troops left the country. Apparently, they're going door to door, she says, trying to see if anybody has a blue passport. She and her husband made attempts to leave Afghanistan via the chaotic airport in Kabul early the month, but were unable to board a flight. Let me bring on now Senator Ron Johnson joins us. He served as the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee from 2015 to 2021. He's now the ranking member for the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, also serves on Budget, Foreign Relations, and Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committees. Senator Johnson, thank you so much for joining us on Viewpoint.
Hello, Malcolm. I hope you're well.
Yeah, doing good. Got over the COVID thing. And so I'm doing actually pretty good right now. So, okay, so this story about the pregnant woman, but more so going door to door and hunting Americans and our Afghani partners, for that matter, is, you know, again, anybody with a blue passport specifically here. Earlier this week, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken says about 100 U.S. citizens still remain in Afghanistan and want to leave. What reports are you hearing and how many Americans are really stranded in Afghanistan? And within the many reports where the Taliban is going door to door in search for Americans and our Afghani partners, Senator Johnson, how is this not factored into the plans from the Biden administration to evacuate, leaving all these people behind?
Because they had no plans. About all we know in terms of what happened in Afghanistan is that what the administration has been telling us has not been truthful. Very early on in the evacuation phase, we were starting to get calls from people that were pretty well panicked by what they were seeing on the ground. People were actually involved. Now, they didn't want to go public because they actually valued their jobs. They knew they'd be retaliated against. But you know, the president, of course, said that this every contingency was planned for. This was an extraordinary success. I mean, he's delusional. Nothing could be further from the truth. What we heard is that as things became chaotic there, tens of thousands of Afghans flooded into the Kabul airport. There was no control over who was let in. Then when the Taliban, I mean, let that sink in for a minute, the Taliban provided the security around the airport. Do you think they let special immigrant visa holders through their perimeter? Do you think they let anybody that helped Americans kill Taliban into the Kabul airport to be evacuated out? I doubt it. And so when I had Secretary Blinken before the Foreign Relations Committee last week, I was asking him, you know, what was the reality of the situation? Is that correct that we just had literally tens of thousands of people? And then what they did is they started playing a numbers game. There was not much else they could do. They had airplanes, they could fill them up, they could fly people out. And I heard a new term called tail-to-tail evacuation. In other words, you open up, you fly out of Kabul into a third country, open up tailgate of your aircraft, have another one waiting there, have refugees fill that, and they fly them off someplace else. So this vetting process, I don't believe for a moment, is rigorous. And what I found out since is the only thing we're really checking these people against are known terror watch list. So in other words, if we know you're a terrorist, if in some way, shape, or form we gathered biometric data on you in the past, we may be able to catch somebody, but we're not doing anything to really positively ID people. And you know, Malcolm, let's face it, how many Al-Qaeda fighters, how many ISIS fighters do you think we have on our databases or that we've ever collected biometric information on? So we're gathering the biometric information now, but we have really nothing definitive to compare it to, and we're just flying these people in the U.S. We're granting them two-year parolee status, which defers legal rights, immigration benefits, and this administration is just playing a numbers game. They're not taking the steps they need to keep this nation safe.
You know, up front of the program here, Dr. James Mitchell, who you know, who was the CIA enhanced interrogation, who was involved in this terrorism thing with the CIA, He was on the program here, Senator Johnson, and he says we've been attacked when the enemy knows that our leadership does not have the will or the courage to fight back. And those were his words. That, in other words, historically, that's what's happened in our country right now. With what you say about the Biden administration, this kind of leaves a future pretty bleak. For the next few years anyways, while the Biden administration is in power, if that is true. Do you agree with this statement?
Well, listen, I think Ronald Reagan was exactly right when he said you achieve peace through strength. Yeah. And weakness just invites aggression. You know, there are a lot of bad people in the world. Not every nation on earth is America's friend. We have adversaries. We have enemies. And when you display the level of weakness that the Obama administration displayed, that now the Biden administration is displaying, it invites that, you know, attacks. And so, no, I think we're in a moment of peril here in this nation, as in this country, as well as globally. The world depends on America, on our values. Again, we've had plenty of critics out there, but when America is leading, the world is a safer, more peaceful place, and most civilized nations realize that, and so they don't like to see America retreat and China rise and Iran rise and Russia rise. That's not good for a global peace.
Well, we've seen a 180 in all the policies, and from back in November 2019, when the Trump administration was in power, to what's happened through COVID and the election, to where we sit today. That's got to be really deeply, I know you, and this is deeply concerning to, I mean, you're a patriot, you represent our country as a United States senator, you dedicated your life to making a difference here. This has got to be deeply, I know it's deeply concerning to me, Senator Johnson, and probably most of our listeners would stand with me to say that. This has really got to tear you apart, especially where you're in a difficult position right now, trying to determine whether you're going to run again or not. You've got to really be looking at this all in really pondering, I think, as a personal question, where we're headed as a nation. I think we all feel it's not business as usual here.
Yeah, we're on the wrong path. And, you know, I there are obviously millions, tens of millions of Americans that are highly concerned about what Democrats are doing to this nation. You know, one of the things I warned about prior to the 2020 election is, do not elect people that say they want to fundamentally transform this nation. Again, America's not perfect, but I believe we're a phenomenal force for good in the world. You know, this is a marvel, what we've created from the genius of our founding fathers. But anybody that wants to fundamentally transform a nation or anything, quite honestly, I mean, do you like, much less love something that you want to fundamentally transform? The analogy I use, Malcolm, is I wake up in the morning, look over my wife, Jane, say, you know, Jane, I love you. Now I'm going to change everything about you. It's just incongruent. It doesn't make sense. And so I tried to caution people against voting for somebody like President Biden that wanted to fundamentally transform this nation. But the media elected President Biden by censoring news on across the board, you know, particularly about Hunter Biden and Biden Inc. and the corruption, the compromise of that. So the media is part and parcel, part of the radical left, the Democrat Party. They are enabling this. They are responsible for it, together with all the other Democrats that voted for President Biden. And people that love this country, people that recognize what sets us apart, what made this country great, are highly concerned. And so what we need to do in November 2022 is we need to sweep, and I mean sweep, Democrats from power. And we also have to start looking at other alternative news and media and social media sites. We just have to stop enabling the radical left media, the radical left social media, from being as powerful as they are.
Let's talk about this, what I call, well, he calls it Build Back Better. I called it Bankrupting of America. Yeah, so Reuters reports this here, just as we speak here today, Biden expects Congress to approve spending, infrastructure bills, as the Democrats in Congress are right in that $3.5 trillion spending bill that funds childcare, community college, social programs, and all kinds of little pet projects, with an increase in taxes on companies. And of course, they say the very wealthy. Of course, what they never tell you in these things, that when you increase taxes on companies, corporations, middle America, or what they call the wealthy, well, this is money that people are going to pay. We all pay for this because our prices go higher and inflation will go higher with all the spending. So they never give you that part of the story, which it's going to hit all of us. So they're saying, you know, he thinks he's going to get it through. Of course, according, in addition to the comparison to the $1 trillion infrastructure bill that is being put out there, of course, the link in all this they're speaking about is Senator Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema of Arizona. Of course, Manchin's in West Virginia there. They both have raised questions about the size and scope of the program, you think? What's your real perspective on this? How much does he, because right now we really are at the point of bankrupt in America for, I don't know how we come back from any of this. Does any of this get through? How much gets through? What does your gut say? What kind of damage are we dealing with here?
Well, I'm praying that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema hold strong, don't eliminate the filibuster, and also stand firm from a standpoint of not agreeing to spend $3.5 trillion that we don't have. The biggest problem we have in Wisconsin right now, and I'd say throughout our economy, is we're incentivizing people not to work, and so they're not. We have incredibly low unemployment rates in Wisconsin. Businesses cannot hire people. They're having to shut down shifts. They can't produce enough products to fill all their orders. And so what I keep talking about is we have this witch's brew of ingredients to create stagflation. And we just helicoptered trillions of dollars into the economy, just shotgunned. We didn't target it. Very unwise. And that, you know, quite honestly, both parties were responsible for that. I voted against most of that. So we have trillions of dollars now chasing too few goods. And with the supply dislocations, that can also start bringing a halt to our economic recovery. And let's face it, our economy ought to just be booming right now because of all the pent-up demand and all the trillions of dollars sitting on the sidelines and people's savings and, you know, all this wealth accumulation that we haven't been able to spend. But the economy appears to be slowing down. Inflation is rising. So all those wage increases people in the middle income have enjoyed, they're being wiped out by inflation. And that's caused by bad government fiscal policies. So this is unsustainable. If we do pass the Bernie budget, even according to CBO scores, which is understates the score of this, $45 trillion in debt within 10 years. We're at about $29 trillion right now. This is completely unsustainable. And of course, they're understating the cost of this. They're laying in new entitlement programs. And as Ronald Reagan once famously said, the closest thing to eternal life on this earth is a government program, and Democrats know that. So they're creating new entitlement programs. They're only scoring them for a couple of years, saying, oh, we'll sunset them, knowing full well they won't sunset. And so the $3.5 trillion Bernie budget is probably more like $5 to $5.5 trillion. And that's really represents about $7 to $8 trillion of spending, because they're talking about $2 to $3 trillion of tax increases. And Malcolm, we both know, if the more you tax something, the less you get of it. And so Democrats want to tax success. They'll get less of it. I think they'll be shocked at how little additional revenue their tax increases will create. What actually generally increases revenue is tax cuts, which incentivize people to get out and work and create new products and services that we all enjoy. That's how a free market economy works.
Yeah, that's called the American way right there. But again, when you add all of these other points up, you have to begin to question what sort of an America are these people really looking for? You know, you've quoted Reagan a couple of times there. I love to quote number 40. And of course, he always said as well, remember, Senator Johnson, that he's just off the cuff of my mind, that quote, that famous one, that, you know, we're from the government and we're here to help, basically, you know, run like hell the other way. That basically rings true with a lot of these programs, I think. All right. Speaking of this year, let me touch on our southern border here. You put a tweet out September 16th, Senator Johnson. It says here, and this one caught me because I love the way you ended it. You said the border crisis grows and the Biden administration and mainstream media remain in a total state of denial. God help us. And it caught my attention so much because the God help us was to me the cry out for help. And it just was so well said. Of course, when you say the total state of denial, I'm not sure if it's really a total state of denial or whether there's another master plan here to weaken America. Senator Johnson, when you look at all these policies, is this a sense? Unless they're really intellectually inept, they are clearly weakening America. Do these people know they're doing that, or are they just totally in Oz somewhere?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. But when it comes to the border, this is purposeful. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were warned. They saw what Donald Trump had done, and it pretty well had secured our border. It stopped the flow of unaccompanied children, family units. We were in the process of completing the fence, which they stopped. They dismantled all those successful programs. And so we've gone from President Obama's crisis at the border, where we were apprehending 2,000 people per day in the 2014 timeframe, to the surge under Donald Trump, which he stopped, which he fixed. It was about 4,000 a day. Malcolm, over the last 6 months, we've averaged over 5,500 people a day. The last couple months, it's been over 6,700 people apprehended per day, and then processed and dispersed. So no, this is an enormous crisis. This is going to have ramifications for decades. And what's so depressing about this is, in order to fix our horribly broken immigration system, the first step is we have to secure that border. We were so tantalizingly close to doing that so that we could address the issue with the DACA kids. And we could stand up a functioning immigration system that is designed to help our economy and help improve America, as opposed to this disaster of a flow of illegal immigrants coming in this country, living in the shadows because they're not documented. This isn't good for anybody, quite honestly. The Democrat Party, that for whatever reason, this is their policy. Remember, they all said they weren't going to deport people. Right. They all said they were going to open up the borders. They all said they were going to provide free health care. Well, that's just a magnet, and that's what we have. We have a magnet now for a flow of illegal immigration, and now we've got 10, 12, 13,000 Haitian immigrants in a completely different sector of the Texas border. I mean, this crisis isn't going away. It's building.
It's building, growing. Yeah. And what do you think about that drone that they're stopping any flights from taking photographs? Back to this whole program today about accountability, Senator Johnson. I mean, this should outrage every American. They've been trying to, they kept the media away with the cages and their boxes where they had the kids initially that they accused Trump of doing all, which were built on Obama's watch. And now the media is silent through all of this. And the administration has gone along. That should be the lead story on CBS, NBC, ABC, MSCN, whatever. It should be on all of them. The fact that, if that was Trump, this would this would blow everything off the front page. The fact that they're stopping the Fourth Estate or any media at all from taking photographs, pretty wild, isn't it?
It was, but a lot of pressure from people like me and others. They've allowed the Fox News drone to get back up there. But to me, the real story is, why didn't the rest of the media have drones up there? You started the segment talking about the problem we have in the mainstream media being part and parcel of the Democrat Party, the communication wing. We don't have a unbiased free press anymore. We don't have journalists. We have advocates. I'm interviewed by some of these people, and it's not an interview. It's an argument. So we don't have an unbiased free press. That's a very dangerous thing for democracy when the bulk, the mass of media and social media is part of a political party. And they're promoting it. Let's face it, Joe Biden, there's no way he could have won the presidency on his own. He was unfit then. He's unfit now. The media elected him. And the media produced the turmoil in terms of 4 years under Donald Trump. I mean, take a look at this indictment for Michael Sussman. What this demonstrates about how Hillary Clinton's campaign bought and paid for the Russian disinformation from the Steele dossier, and then wanted to whip up this thing with the Alpha Bank as well, utilizing contacts within the Justice Department to basically allow the media to report that there's an investigation into Trump collusion with Russia. That's what this is all about. And to John Durham's credit, now he's laying this out in excruciating detail. But once again, the mainstream media is ignoring what should be a bombshell revelation over the last couple of days. But except for Fox News, outlets like yours, it's being widely ignored, and it shouldn't be. I mean, this was a coup against a sitting American president. They stated that's what they wanted to do, and they did it. And they're not being held accountable for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is it. All right. Last piece here, COVID. You had a press release on the 16th of September that said, entitled, "It is shocking that Anthony Fauci does not have a firm grasp on the effectiveness of natural immunity." And I wanted to touch on that a little bit because obviously, all right, everybody has seen the Biden administration with this mandate in vaccines and mandate in all kinds of things. I mean, they're making people very uncomfortable. Now, I want to tell you, Senator Johnson, I make no mistake about it. We are getting, I mean, I don't know the number. It's tens of thousands, listeners, comments, people reaching out to our network because we have the class of MDs like Dr. Peter McCullough and so many other MDs on our network. And so we've become a magnet for information on COVID, and they are just all over this. Now, you know, and my heart goes out. I read the communications and the responses. I mean, I probably know better than anybody what the American people are feeling about this. What do you think on this here and this whole vaccine mandate? Let me give you the last word on this COVID business, please.
Well, first of all, I think the way we've handled COVID is insane. You know, we keep being preached at follow the science, and then our health agencies aren't. They're not being honest. They're not being transparent. They're not either gathering the information that Americans deserve to have in order to make an informed choice. And so people have lost faith in the agencies. And that's a real shame. But, you know, from my standpoint, this is all about freedom. It's about health autonomy, health privacy. And I was a big supporter of Operation Warp Speed. I've been at the forefront of early treatment. I mean, back as early as March of 2020, I held hearings on this. I gave Dr. McCulloch and Risch and Dr. Corey a platform in a Senate hearing. And of course, we all got vilified. The New York Times ran a column titled Snake Oil Salesman of the Senate. So because I also have been advocating for early treatment, again, advocating for a vaccine, but also advocating for freedom and information so people can make an informed choice. Nobody, Malcolm, should be pressured, coerced, or fear reprisal for not availing themselves of a medical treatment, including the COVID vaccine. This has turned ugly. I'm inundated as well from, you know, emails from nurses, doctors who are treating COVID patients. First and foremost, they've had the courage and compassion to do so, but they're also treating vaccine injuries. They've had COVID themselves. They see the vaccine injuries. They don't want to get a vaccine. They're going to quit. We're going to exacerbate our healthcare worker shortage, our nursing shortage with these unconstitutional mandates. So I've just been trying to raise the alarm. All I've been trying to do is ask questions. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical researcher, but I have a brain. So do other people. And we're not getting the information that we need and deserve. Understanding there is not perfect information. I would like to see a little more modesty out of the Faucis of the world to admit that there are a lot of things we don't know. And because we don't know this, we can't say these things with certainty. Provide information that, as much as we can, and then let people respect people to make the decision themselves.
And that is an American tradition right there, what you say, Senator Johnson. And it's left a lot of Americans completely uncomfortable. They're losing jobs. They're losing their schooling. They're losing their lives. And they're reaching out and pleading and begging us at America Out Loud for information. I'll tell you what, Senator Johnson, I've never seen anything like it. It's startling. In fact, we've been doing a series of Q&As all on America Out Loud with Dr. McCullough, trying to get the right information out there for folks. So we're doing everything we can here. But clearly, my heart goes out to so many people that it's beyond sad. And this is so un-American. Senator Johnson, thank you for everything you do, and very much appreciate you joining us here on Viewpoint this Sunday.
Well, God bless and stay healthy.
Let's bring on now and talk a little bit about the China connection in all of this with Dr. Li Mengyang is here. She's an independent virologist and was the whistleblower with the CCP, as you know. She's got the three Yan reports we are publishing here on America Out Loud, and always appreciate her contributions. She is at the forefront of a lot of investigations, a lot of research with her team, and working very hard to bring out the evil that the CCP is up to. And so, Dr. Li Mingyang, we were, you know, we were going back and forth, you and I, in the last couple of days about the CCP and this whole unrestricted bioweapon, their involvement, and the way they're influencing surely all the media, social media, but the vaccine mandates that they're pushing out there, and these sort of Marxist programs. What is China really up to, and what is the latest evidence, should it say to each American, the concern we have with China?
I had recently obtained and also studied the very astonishing evidence from the document written in by Chinese Communist Party, and to tell what they are going to do the next step in this unrestricted biowarfare strategy. So they use the fancy title as biosafety and biosecurity to describe what they are going to do. I mean, you can just imagine, as they always claim they are going to serve for people, right? So just basically listen to their word and understand it in the opposite meaning. That's the basic thing you should understand CCP, okay? And so let me tell you what I want to share. It is from 2019 to now, China government clearly expressed their opinion and their next step strategy in their national biosecurity and biosafety report. They clearly mentioned that using the opportunity of the infectious disease prevention and control, and to design, also direct the future of the world using the theory that, which is a Marxism theory, they called it as community of common destiny. So under this community of common destinies instruction, Chairman Xi and the CCP, they are going to make the whole world into the communist Marxism new world order. They want to become world dominant, as I discussed with you before. And now they are more clear about what they are going to do using infectious prevention and control as an opportunity.
Yeah, well, let me say this here now. What I've been thinking and feeling in recent days and weeks is, you know, somebody like China, like the CCP, the, you know, the Communist Party there, is they seize the moment. They see everything going, you know, sideways in the world. They surely see, Dr. Yan, what's happening here in America, how the political environment is so toxic, and how we have an administration in Washington who, you know, can't put two steps in front of themselves. The blunders and debacles they are creating, not only here at home, but around the world. China sees all of this. They know what's going on. They help create the environment. So what you're speaking of right now, I think, is, and what I believe, is they're seizing the moment, back to this community of common destiny, you call it, to really take advantage of things and to create more hostilities out there, more confusion, and really a lot of these programs. How will they do that specifically? Let's tell our listeners, tell Americans, you know, when it comes to all these bureaucracies and these programs and scaring people with, it's all fear-based, fear. How are they specifically going to do this through the community of common destiny, Dr. Yang?
Okay, let me briefly tell our audience, Malcolm. We can explain it later. I have enough evidence to make the whole logic complete. So let me tell you that this community of common destiny is the term raised by Xi Jinping. And also later, from 2017, it was written into the CCP's principles. And then it was written into the PRC China Constitution. So they are going to use this to spread the communism all over the world, to take over Americans' strongest country's position, and also remove the capitalism remove the private belongings, these things in this system, and remove your freedom, finally turn the world become another CCP China. That's what they are going to do. And what they can do is, during this progress, actually they planned it for decades, that's how evil CCP is. So they want to divide America, and then they want destroy American and other democratic countries' freedom and civilization. So let's say, for example, using the vaccine mandate, what they can do is they introduce the mandate, this concept. This introduction is based on the propaganda and the misinformation which was spread by China after the virus outbreak. So when you say the mandate, and you will definitely, Americans will separate into two groups, pro one mandate or against the mandate, right? Then this is the first step of the division. And also, China make this COVID-19 virus, this is part of their unrestricted bioweapon. As I explained before, how to make it work better, that is combined with China's unrestricted misinformation in the scientific world and also in the media to public to influence policymakers. So all this together make the vaccine development was misled. And people believe that vaccine could work because they believe that vaccine worked before against the nature occurring pathogen. Say now, China induced the lab-made virus, COVID virus, which contains their evil communism ideology during the gain function modification. And now they cheat. They let people thought the vaccine include part of the virus would be safe. And they ignore the bad part in the virus, the evil part. That's why later, when people realize, especially image, when Americans all realize that the vaccine is not as safe as they want, and also the vaccine development is not as successful as they expected, they will fight with your government. Say, what will China do? China sit outside, watching American people fighting with American government using American taxpayers' money. And China spread misinformation telling, oh, your government is useless. Say, our China, we are flexible, we have dictatorship, we can control it well, we make people look so happy, propaganda. China used this virus, China released the virus, China spread the misinformation to change from scientists to policymakers what Americans should do.
The sad reality here is they are successful in dividing America for sure. And now they'll reap the benefits of that, is what Dr. Li Mengyang is saying, through this community of common destiny and this pressure campaign they're putting out there. Interesting with the evidence that she has and the research and that her team is doing. I really appreciate her guidance and her help and expertise here on the front lines to get the message out there. And by the way, the Yun report, the third one, is available on America Out Loud, and you can get that right back at AmericaOutLoud.com. If you really want to get an education, read the three reports, look at her information, and you'll have a good understanding of what's happening here around the world, for sure here. Wow, what a great program here. Tremendous thank you to Dr. Li Mengyang. A big thank you to Senator Ron Johnson and Dr. James Mitchell up top of the program there. Another extraordinary viewpoint this Sunday. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com, my friends. And thank you, as always, for being with me on the mission to save America here. It's time to get involved and get out.